Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to John chapter number 5. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are well acquainted with our text this morning. And familiarity, Lord, sometimes breeds deafness. To open our ears that we may hear. Open our eyes that we may see. And open our hearts that we may receive what you have to say to us today. Lord, bless me with the words that are needed for those who have gathered to hear from you today. As we make our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we saw that God has ownership of the new realities that are presented to us all each day. It has either been birthed by God to bring about our continued sanctification or to bring about blessing. Or God has taken the bad that has been wrought in our situations and is redeeming it by working it to our good. Either way, the failure by us to acknowledge God's sovereignty and ownership through our refusal to choose the new reality that is set before us is at its heart a denial of God being at work in every facet of our lives and in this world. So it may be helpful for us this morning to recognize what life looks like when we choose to maintain the old reality rather than accepting and embracing the new reality that God is presenting to us. Look with me at verse number 1 in John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Yet one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be healed? You say, well, Mark, you just told us that we were going to look at what happens when we choose to maintain the old reality and don't accept the new reality, and there is nothing in here about choice. Where did you get it? Well, first, there is an implication in the text that at some point in the past, we don't know when, this invalid had made a decision that set him on the path that found him here at the sheep gate at the pool called Bethesda. If you were to go down to verse number 14 in John 5, you would find this. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Sin no more. In other words, Jesus is making a bridge here that says that, there was some decision in this man's past, some sin that he did that set him up on the path that he finds himself here at the gate. He had an opportunity to choose a new reality, and for some reason he chose a different reality, an old reality. He chose wrong, and this is where it got him. Jesus would not have warned him to go and sin no more if there had not been a choice at some point in the past. Secondly, remember that there is nothing in the scriptures that is just haphazardly thrown in for our amusement. Everything in the scriptures is for our benefit. And John tells us that this man had been here for 38 years. He had been in this condition, this invalid condition, for 38 years. He does not say that he had been in this condition since birth. He says 38 years. 38 years is the length of time, approximately, that those who chose not to enter into the promised land, who let their fear reign over their faith, wandered around aimlessly and languished and ultimately perished in the wilderness. You say, could it be just coincidence? No, beloved, I think John put it in there for a reason. Because somehow this text goes back to a choice. So how did the man now find himself? The text tells us that the man had lost all vitality of life. When he is described as an invalid here in the original language, it has connotations of being withered or dried up. In other words, life has gone out from him. He is a shell of what he once was. He doesn't seem to have any power at all. And in fact, if you go down to verse number 7, you would find out a few more things about him. Verse number 7 says, "The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me.'" His answer tells us that he is alone. "I have no one to help me. I'm all by myself. I've tried, but there's always one that gets in there when the pool is stirred before I can get there, because they believe that an angel came down and stirred the pool. And when the first person that got into it afterwards, the person would be healed. He says, "I tried, but I failed. Opportunities came, opportunities went, and my time has passed. I'm just here." Beloved, what an utterly depressing situation. Alone, dried up, withered, no hope, and living in the present, consumed by the past. Do you feel this way? Do you feel this way this morning? Do you feel dried up, withered spiritually? Maybe physically, maybe emotionally. Beloved, are you filled with hopelessness instead of hopefulness? When you look at the condition of your life and the condition of your family, do you say it's never going to get better? When you look at the condition of our community, do you say it's never going to get better? Do you look at the future of our church? Do you say it's never going to get better? Maybe sometimes you're like me and you get really bent out of shape and you just see the future and you think about the future of Christianity and you say, it's a losing battle. It's a losing battle. The world is passing us by and we are forgotten. Understand something this morning, beloved. The world has not passed you by. The world has not passed me by. The world is not passing us by. God has not passed us by. God has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten me. He did not forget this man. Did you catch that in the text? Did you catch verse 6? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, Jesus sees the man and the whole state of him is there. Jesus, it's like he's on a divine appointment with this man and he hadn't forgotten him. He knew his condition already. He knew everything that needed to go on. He knew what had occurred in the past based off of his statements in verse number 14. He understood. He had not forgotten. He is there at just the right time, at the right place, and he presents to this man a new reality. You say, well, maybe he just knew him before. No, no. If you go down to verse number 13, you would find out that they asked the man, who healed you? And he said, I don't know. Beloved, isn't it important to you? It is to me. It might not be to you, but isn't it important? Doesn't it get you moving to know that God has not forgotten you? In the midst of unimaginable turmoil in the world, in the midst of crisis after crisis and despair after despair, do you ever think he's forgotten me? And then to find out, no, he hadn't. No, he hadn't. Because if you think he's forgotten you, you'll get in an invalid state. You'll get withered up. You'll get dried out. You will get to the point where you can't even move. So hear me this morning. He hasn't forgotten you. Jesus says to this man, you say you're alone, guess what? I'm here. He says to this man, you think you have no hope? Guess what? Here is hope. Do you want to be made well? And when you read the word well here in the original language, it implies a completeness of life. In other words, Mr. Man, something is missing, you say. I can complete you. I can meet the hole that is currently in your life. Do you want it? Will you take me up on it, he says. You see, Jesus is presenting him a new reality. He is a God of second chances who will give this guy now a second chance to make the right choice. And he will come into this moment and he is telling him that the new reality that he is being presented is what will ultimately give him fulfillment and completeness that he has longed for and is looking for. It will be the power that fills up every dry, dead battery in his life. It will give him not feelings of withered up, but feelings of flourishing. Will give him vitality and will get him moving. He just has to choose this new reality. And what does the invalid say back to him? He offers an excuse. I have no one. I have no one. Beloved, sometimes things are presented to you and just as clear as day, and we miss it. This guy's missing it. He offers an excuse. You and I offer excuses all the time, but God does not want to hear our excuses, beloved. If you want to know what one of the great themes of Scripture is, it is this. In the midst of us saying, of God saying, I want to do, and us saying back, but God's great thread through Scripture is, shut up. Noah says, God says, I need you to build an ark. An ark? It had never rained. Why do I need an ark? God says, I don't want to hear your excuse. Abraham says, God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. He says, I'm old. I'm old. My wife's old. We ain't got the, but there's nothing that can happen now. He says, I don't want to hear it. God says to Moses, I'm going to make you be the one who leads my people out of bondage. And what does Moses say? I can't talk right. He says, I'll send you the answer. He says to Gideon, Gideon, you're going to be the one that goes out and defeats the Midianites. And Gideon says, not me. Not me. He sends Elijah to the widow of Zarephath's house in the middle of a drought and a famine, and Elijah says to her, feed me. And she says, I'd only got enough for me and my boy, and we're going to eat it and die. And he says, I'll make sure the pot never runs empty. Some boys out fishing one day, and Jesus walks up to them and says, have you caught anything? And they say, no. And he says, cast on the other side. And they're looking at him like, we are grown fishermen. We do this for a business. You look like nothing more than some hobunk carpenter who doesn't know a thing about fishing. And he says, cast the other side. And what do? They bring up all that it's worth. He goes to a graveyard one day, and he says, roll back the stone. And they say, but Lord, he's been there 4 days. He stinks. And he says, roll it back. You and I look at the future of Grove Park. And we say, God, we don't have this. We don't have that. We can't do this. We can't do that. I look at my own life and I say things to God all the time. I can't, I can't, I can't. It's not in me. And God says to us, much more politer, but I need you to get it in your head. Shut up. Take your eyes off yourself. We want to look at ourselves. We look good. I mean, don't we? This morning I tied my tie and I pulled out my phone and I flipped it around and I thought, ooh, man. Got in the car last Sunday. Eliza said, you look good today. Yeah, buddy. We want all the attention on us. And God says, move your eyes. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This guy is offering solutions. And, you know, we read it, and you know, we just say, get up, take up your bed. You know, Jesus is just, da 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 da. No. No, Jesus says, get up. Go back in your mind. When you've been up way too late the night before, maybe, and it's Sunday morning, and you just barely got in, and then you drag, I don't know if I'm going to go to church today. And what does your daddy or your mama or your grandmama say to you? Get up. Jesus says to him, don't focus on what you can't do. Listen to me. Pay attention. Look here. Get up. Take up your mat and walk. You see, beloved, when we take our eyes off ourselves, when we shut our mouths to our excuses, and we look full into the power of God, and we don't put our faith and our trust in ourselves, but we put our faith and our trust in Him, and we bring all that we can do on our own power, and we match it up to His power, His purpose can be fulfilled in our lives. I shouldn't say can be. His purpose will be fulfilled in our lives, because then we will take on His new reality. It is His. We will take it on, because our reality is it's all up to us. And when it's all up to us, beloved, it just fails miserably. But when we match it up to His, the new reality presents itself, and His purpose is fulfilled. His purpose is fulfilled. just for a moment, I got to thinking about this a while ago. And I've heard all sorts of bad sermons about this mat in my life. But I must confess, I got to thinking about this. Jesus said, get up, take your mat, and walk. And I had to think to myself, I wonder if this mat comes into play somewhere else. I don't have any evidence of this. I would normally scream. If you've been with me on a Tuesday night Bible study, you know I would scream up and down about this if I was listening right now. Be mad. But I just for a moment want you to think for a moment. We don't know where this guy went after this. Quite possibly, did he take this mat and he go meet up with three other guys who was also an invalid, who also knew an invalid, and they put him on there and they put him on this mat and they go off and they see that they can't get to Jesus, so what do? They climb up on the roof with this mat that this guy had laid on for 38 years and they tear off the roof and they lay Jesus down into there on that mat. Is it possible? I don't know. But beloved, I know this, that all of your excuses that you say you can't do, if you will accept His new reality, He will let you take those excuses with you and show, yes, He can. It could be that He used that mat to get somebody else to healing. I don't know. It could have been that that was the mat that they were carrying the widow Nain's son on. I don't know. There's all different ways this mat could have been used. But I guarantee you it was used after that to declare that God said I was not alone. He had not forgotten me. And He told me to pick His reality. And I did. And look, I used to lay on this, but now I'm up walking around. And so the question for us this morning is, will we see God's purpose fulfilled in our lives? Fulfilled in our lives, fulfilled in our church, fulfilled in our community, fulfilled in our nation, fulfilled in the community of faith. Will we do it? You and I think that the decisions that we need to make in life to see God's power are these huge, monstrous things that only come along intermittently. But God tells us that each and every moment of our life is a decision. It's a decision to accept His reality. It's a decision to accept what He says over what the world says, to accept His reasoning over our excuses, His power over our lack of power. His reality, His new reality, over our old reality. You say, I don't know if I can make the decision today. You know what I love about this story is that it took place on the Sabbath. This is a day you do not make a decision. You do not do any work. And yet, He made the decision. The decision is presented to us today. It defies reason to accept it. But He did, and we did. He He didn't put it off till it looked more favorable. He accepted it right then. Dr. Martin Luther King had a phrase called the fierce urgency of now. There is a fierce urgency, beloved, for you to make a decision today, to accept a second chance from God, to accept a third chance, to accept a fourth. I don't know how many chances you may be on today, but to accept the fact that He is calling you to accept His reality. He's calling me. He's calling us. Will we do it? Will we do it? The decision isn't for later. It isn't after we've pondered. He's put a question in your heart right now. The question is, are you going to answer yes? Let's pray. Lord, help us to yes. Help us to yes. Silence our excuses. Bring our focus to you, to your power and your might, and get us to yes. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds. Thank you.